to thank my guest for starting his day off with us, AFL-CIO President Tim Dre. First off, Tim, morning. Hope you're well, sir.
Yeah, I am. Thank you, Tom. Good morning.
Yeah, you had a busy day. I mean, here we are the day after Labor Day. I would imagine your feet are swollen at this point. You probably were in a parade or two yesterday, I would think.
Yes, I was up in Rock Island celebrating and advocating with the union members up in the Quad Cities area.
You know, it's interesting because I had a guest on last week, says Amendment 1, which is why I've asked him to join us this morning. It'll be on the ballot in November. And he was very adamant. This is the most important thing on the ballot, bar none, and that includes the governor's election. This is the most important thing on the ballot in November. Do you agree with that, Tim?
I do agree with that, Tom. That's probably the only thing we agree on, but I do agree. And the reason why I agree is, you know, elected officials have set terms, putting workers' rights, codifying those into the Illinois Constitution, goes on for forever, basically, until we get a new constitution or somebody would try to repeal it. So it is very, very important. It's the election for working families in Illinois in generations.
All right. Now, on the AFL-CIO website, says, if approved, this measure would be one of four such guarantees enshrined in the 50 states' constitution. To win, it needs either 60% of the votes on the initiative itself or a majority of 50% plus one of all votes cast in the election. Now, there are four components to this. So which one of these four would you like to start with, Tim?
We can start just the way they're listed in the amendment, Tom, if that works for you.
Sure.
You know, the first is the right to collective bargaining that, you know, we believe that all workers, no matter, you know, what the job, from domestic workers to PhDs, should have the right to come together in the workplace and decide terms and conditions of employment. You know, that's the right of all workers. Two, the right to a safe workplace. We believe that, you know, during the pandemic, there was, you know, police officers, correctional officers, grocery store workers, construction workers, manufacturing workers went to work. They didn't miss a day as far as the sites being open. And, you know, they did that at great personal risk to their health and the health of their families. And we advocated for people to go to work, but they needed to do it safely. And that's where it fell through the cracks many, many times. Number three, the right to no regression in employment policies enacted previously by the state. Now, you know, we had mine disasters. I know that I was a coal miner starting out my career many, many years ago. But, you know, my father went into the mine in 1947, and I can't imagine how he felt when places like Centralia and West Frankfort, where hundreds of miners were killed, and he was still going into that coal mine every day. And then I followed him. And, you know, those mine safety laws are put on the books for a reason. And we don't want to see regression in those types of safety laws. And I mentioned miners, but that goes for workers' compensation and unemployment and minimum wage and all the other issues that we have fought so hard to put into law.
Well, it's interesting, Tim, that when you talk about this, that, you know, what I hear is this. When they talked about pensions in the Constitution, shall not be diminished is what I'm hearing in this, shall not be regressed. I mean, I hear the same terminology, in, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, Tom, it's really simple, you know, from the pension protection clause that was enacted by the voters in 1970, that pensions shall not be diminished. You know, we took that and the legislature 12 years ago passed a pension reform law that was overturned in the Illinois Supreme Court because of that. 7-0. It was a 7-0 bipartisan decision that the pensions cannot be diminished. They're a promise. They cannot be diminished. And so then we looked at the Safe Roads Amendment that we did a couple years ago, where, you know, politicians started using road fund money. I mean, you know, when you go to the gas station and you fill up and you're paying the tax and grumbling, I got to pay tax, but at least, you know, you're thinking it's going to the roads, it's going to safe roads and safe bridges, and we have good infrastructure in Illinois, and let's maintain it. But politicians started using some of that money for other areas. So we said, whoa, no. We backed an amendment that you could not take those motor fuel tax funds and use them for other areas other than for roads and bridges. And so we kind of took the combination of two ideas and said we should take, you know, worker safety laws and put them in a lockbox so that politicians cannot pilfer them in the future for our kids and for our grandkids and their kids.
All right. Now, I interrupted you just before you went into item number four.
Well, number four was just a prohibition on right to work in Illinois.
All right.
So we would be,
which is what I wanted to talk next.
Constitutionally.
Which is what I want to talk to you about next, because, I mean, that was one of the first things many pundits say, well, this changed Illinois on a fundamental level and makes Illinois no longer a right to work state. True?
Well, current law, we have it in the law that right to work is not legal in Illinois. That's in the law. But, you know, Governor Rauner came in and he pushed very, very hard, and he basically held up the state government, the budget for the state government for 2.5 years to try to get right to work and at least right to work zones in the state law. So, it's very, very important that we constitutionally protect that right for people to collectively come together and have the freedom to choose if they want to form a union in the workplace or not.
Now, how would this affect in the Janus versus AFSCME case, where if you're not in a union, you still got to pay dues? I mean, is this something that's reflected in the law, in this proposed law?
No. This does not affect, because the Janus decision is a U.S. Supreme Court decision.
Okay.
That was overturned a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court in 1983. And this would not affect the Janus decision.
All right. I want to throw some of the stuff now. I want, in particular, the Illinois Policy Institute wrote an article and said these are the problems. And so I figure I'll toss a couple of these, Tim, and let you respond to them. They said, number one, that this amendment number one gives government union leaders unchecked power. Your thoughts on that statement?
I don't agree with that at all. It gives us protections in the Constitution, as I outlined earlier, that the right to a safe workplace, and it doesn't have anything to do with what they think about unchecked power. It's just constitutionally guarantees the rights we have on the books.
Amendment one is just unconstitutional. That was one of the items they say here. The National Labor Relations Act governs private sector collective bargaining nationwide. Anytime the federal government occupies a space, it prompts state laws that would attempt to do so. And that means Amendment one crosses the line because it regulates private sector collective bargaining and violates the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution. I'm not a lawyer, and I wish I was at this point.
Well, I would say to that is that we just give everybody the right to collectively bargain, and we're not going into and saying that any kind of statute that says this is how you will do it or anything like that. It just stands up and says that Illinois recognizes that every worker has the right to enter into collective bargaining. Now, that could be under the Illinois Labor Relations Act for public employees, or it could be under the National Labor Relations Act for private sector employees. But we do have the right to engage into collective bargaining.
Now, I conducted an
interview. Doesn't regulate collective bargaining. It just... I was just saying it doesn't regulate collective bargaining. It just gives everybody the right to that process.
Now, by far, the number one, when I talked to someone else on this issue that was not fond of this proposal, by far their number one issue was the cost. And in the Illinois Policy Institute, they say Amendment 1 guarantees higher taxes and debt in Illinois. Another source had said this will increase Illinois' taxpayers' funds, how much they pay in property taxes, $2,149 over the next 4 years, according to these published articles. So its effect on people's wallet?
Well, we believe that, first of all, there's nothing in the amendment that mentions taxes whatsoever. So I think that's a red herring to clickbait, if you will. But what we found in a study by the Illinois Economic Policy Institute is that it will increase wages. Therefore, it will spur economic activity, and more people will benefit by this, by increased wages, household wages, to take care of their families.
All right, so now...
So, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, because that is part of the issue, when you think about it, and it's mentioned in several other published articles, that it will make business harder to conduct in Illinois, and saying it will, and here's one line from somebody who's not fond of this law, says Amendment 1 would solidify Illinois' reputation as one of the worst places to do business in the country and exacerbate the current exodus of jobs, and the economy would suffer. But you just referenced this. I mean, if the wages go up, they spend more money right in the economy.
Yes, that's right. The term job creators have been hijacked by the conservative billionaire interest. The job creators are living right here in our communities, because if a worker does better, that worker and his family or her family are going down there buying a car at the local car dealership. They're going to the local stores. They're supporting local businesses. That money's not going to New York City or Los Angeles, California, or anywhere else. It's staying right here in the community. So when they say that this is not good for the Illinois economy, I think that's just completely wrong. And again, the job creators are the consumers, and the better the better that people are paid and have welfare at work, safety and things like that, the better consumers they are in our local communities. And that was something when we increased the minimum wage, I never did understand the opposition coming from the other side, and on funded basically by mega corporations like Walmart and others, that was saying, oh, this is harmful. That money, when you go and buy something at Walmart, that money is going out of state. That profit is going out of state. When you support local businesses, that money stays in the state. So putting money into the pockets of people is always a positive.
All right. We've talked a lot about what other people say. Let's talk about why people should vote for this. Tim Drace joining us this morning, Illinois AFL-CIO president. And Tim, I mean, we've talked about a lot of people and thrown a lot of stuff in the air, and I think there's a huge educational process. And one of the reasons I reached out to you through my friend Jerry Womack, and I want to thank him for his help on getting Tim my phone number. But when you look at this, and even by most anybody's admission, this is a profound change in law in the state of Illinois. Hawaii, Missouri, New York have some of the guarantees, but you, in this law, almost all of these are bound up in one. This would be the most profound workers' law change in the Constitution of any state in the Union, the way I read it.
Yeah, it's bold. Yes, it's bold. But, the workers of this country and in this state has made this a great state in all sectors, in manufacturing, service, public employment. And, we needed to be bold to ensure that constitutionally that these, working families won't have their rights diminished in the future. And most important, I think the most important thing about that amendment is the right to a safe workplace, because the one thing more than anything else the Illinois AFL-CIO concentrates on day in and day out is that when a worker starts a shift, the worker finishes his shift and goes home to his or her family. To me, that is the most profound part of this amendment, is safety in the workplace and the right that people can stand up and say, I need a safe workplace. Because, you know, and Tom, you know, even as coal miners and things like, as a coal miner, I'm going to go back to being a coal miner, you know, that disease, you know, even though you might go home from that workplace tonight, 10, 15, 20 years later, you know, some kind of workplace injury, like, you know, black lung pops up. And it was only through the state, you know, and federal law that black lung was really diminished. And so, you know, that's what we work on every day. The right to a safe workplace, to me, is the most profound effect, you know, because it's quality of life for people. And again, workers returning home after their shift, at day after day after day, and they can enjoy retirement, you know, without having a workplace illness. An illness that was caused by the workplace.
Right, like my granddad and black lung. So, yeah. Now, Tim, before I let you go this morning, Tim Dray's joining us, Illinois AFL-CIO president. If people want to learn more about this, and now we've got a lot of people texting us, and they are curious about this because they're just now hearing about this. By the way, on this, if 60% of the voters have to say yes, correct? That's how that works? 60%?
Yeah, yes. That's what we're going for, you know, more than 60%. But, yes, under the amendment to the Illinois Constitution, it needs the approval of 60% of the voters.
All right. So
voting on the question.
If people want to learn more about this, where's your thoughts when it goes to find a good place?
Well, they could go to a website, Workers' Rights, Vote Yes for Workers' Rights, or the Illinois AFL-CIO.org. Just Google it, and there's plenty of information out there. But I think that in the next about 63 days, we're going to be hearing a lot more about this amendment and the positive effects it will have on all Illinoisans. And
agreed.
We look forward to enshrining this.
Well,
Constitution.
We may have to ask you back when people have got more questions, when they've gotten down in the fun a little bit deeper. The place that I used that I thought was pretty educational on this was peoplesworld.org. And I learned a lot of information there. And whenever you search this, you'll find that there are a lot of people out there. There was a couple sites I went, Tim, that were really flowery, right? This will do this. You know, I want to know nuts and bolts. I don't want to know the 30-second ad, man. I want to know the nuts and bolts. So you got to shop around a little bit on that. Hey, Tim, I can't tell you much. I appreciate your time, okay?
Okay, thank you, Tom. Hey, good luck.